WDRBY, the internet's number one roller derby radio station.
Since the days of yore, the kingdoms of roller derby have been broken. Torn asunder by the harpies and gargoyles who seek to conquer the vast and ever-growing houses of the flat track. But yea, across the green plains of the Netherrealm lie a group of saviors. They are the Knights of the Round Track. Behold the Great One, King Parth of Vader.
Well, I'm a mushroom cloud-laying motherfucker. Every time my fingers touch brain, I'm Super Fly TNT. I'm the Guns of the Navarone.
From the Isle of Misfit Toys, the Grizzly God, Coach Dell.
So grant me one request. Grant me revenge.
And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
The Master of Coin, Sir Cookies of Breakfast.
I will show you to the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Arnor. Dark fire, shadow man, flame unknown. Go back to the shadow. You shall not pass.
And the royal stand-up philosopher, Russell Franchise.
Why should the people listen to you?
Because, unlike some other Robin Hoods, I can speak with an English accent.
WDRBY. Now presents the Knights of the Round Track.
Welcome to the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Knights of the Round Track. I am the Great One, Parth Vader, along with
Carter
and the voice. WDRBY.
Why does it take you so long to say that?
Because it sounds so nice when I say the voice of WDRBY.
But you like pause in between every fucking word.
The voice of WDRBY.
Yeah, you got.
I like
to give every letter its own special.
And the voice
WDRBY.
RBY.
You went too late on the R, sir.
Once again, conspicuous by his absence, Cookies for Breakfast, who doesn't know what the hell a parking lot is, apparently.
I'm surprised.
Said he was in a parking lot. I don't see that motherfucker anywhere.
I'm surprised. We kind of made this show easier. Like, we don't record as often.
We don't do it live anymore, yeah.
It should be just like, hey, you come in, you do what you need to do.
Show up, record, leave.
This guy is just... I'll tell you what it is. It's that gigabit internet that he just got.
I don't know, man.
Cookies
has always been on Cookies' time. I mean...
Right. But he's been, like, extra... He's been extra...
I'm black late, but he's, like, Carter late.
Carter late.
Carter has her own time.
CP right. time.
Yeah. CCPT.
CCP. So there's color people time.
It's Carter people time.
Wow.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was Carter Perosi time. That's what people call me. That's what Chuck calls it. CP time, Carter Perosi.
Wait. How much later is Carter Perosi?
You'll never know.
The world may never know.
You never know.
Much like how many licks it takes to get to a tootsie pop. That owl was a dick. All right, continue.
One. A two.
All right, let's start off pretty light. Let's start with the top story in Derby right now. And that is London's own moving to the United States of America. That's right. Steph Maney is now part of the U.S. of A. She plays
Is she moving here?
She's moved here. She resides in Bay Area.
Mia
Sanchez did a really good one at Beer Fest. Like, it's on our page. It was harmonic. It was so good. Check us out on Parth Sanchez on Facebook. we recap our events at the beer festival, and we stole a chair.
Wait, you stole a chair?
Borrowed with no intention of returning.
No! Nah, we stole it. Nah, we stole that shit. We walked out of it. We walked out like we owned it, and nobody stopped us.
Wait, was it just like a...
It's a beautiful red Stella Artois chair.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I don't know where it currently resides.
Are we not incriminating?
That was suspicious.
I saw it, and then it was gone.
All right.
Maybe.
Wait, is my chair not there anymore?
Where? This is going on the internet for life.
I don't think the federal government is going to listen to this podcast. But yeah,
we found that Stella Artois chair that was missing.
The beer festival was amazing. Like it was at a different location this year. It's usually at the convention center, where it's two floors, so you have to get on the escalator and go upstairs.
It's where Columbia Quad Squad hosted a WFTDA championship.
That's
playoff.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So that might be the best time I've ever had, because it was right down the street from the house. We lived like three blocks away from the D1. It was awesome. But yeah, it was two floors at the convention center. Now it was at, I don't know if it's going to be from now on at the fairgrounds, but apparently nobody told them that there was going to be a change in venue, because
everybody is
every year, it's been here for eight years, so this is the ninth year. All 8 years, they've had these little plastic glasses. This year, they decided to go fancy and have real glasses.
Yeah.
At the fairgrounds, where it's cement and concrete. Every 5 minutes, somebody was dropping their glass. And I was like, oh! And then once, it's a four-hour event.
Yeah.
So once you hit that three-hour mark, or that two-and-a-half-hour mark, more and more glasses started to drop, because everybody kept getting drunker and drunker. And at the four-hour mark, everybody was just like, done.
No Karim.
I was like, fuck it, just pick it up and throw it down on the ground. That's exactly what was happening. So
I was Ubering that whole event, and I picked up somebody just like, yeah, they got tired at the old place because everybody kept fucking up the carpet with their vomit and shit. So they just took it out to the fairground.
I understand.
By vomit and shit, he means vomit. And shit.
Yeah. Yes. There was actual feces at what?
Welcome to the beer fest.
I understand now. It's
what I love, like...
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What I come to love about driving for Uber is just the fact that if you're smart, you can predict how drunk people will react and then just, like, capitalize on it. Just like it... Normally, any other time, it's a sunny day, everybody's getting drunk, it's great. It starts pouring raining. Everybody needs to get home quickly.
Well, it didn't start raining until it was over, though.
Yeah, about
the first section.
Yeah, about 3:30 or so. I get there at 4. It's all 5 stars, and it's a surge of 5. I'm just like, hey, motherfuckers, how's everybody doing tonight? Oh, it's only going to take you 2 miles? Don't worry, it's going to cost you $20 to get home.
All right, so, like I said, Steph Manny, now residing in Bay Area. Carter?
Yes.
Does Bay Area now have a chance at the Hydra with Steph Manny? Do you have a better chance now?
A better chance, yes.
Okay.
Was she the is she the missing piece?
They had a great team about three or four years ago. Mm-hmm. I'll say 3 years ago. They had a great team 3 years ago. And a few players retired. A few players, you know, moved away. So getting Steph Manny is only going to bring them up like two steps.
There were like retirements, moving away. There were injuries that hurt them a lot.
What is the status of Demanda? She hasn't retired yet, right?
She's not retired. She is back full force now.
Oh, Demanda and Steph Manny, that's going to be a killer.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, Steph Manny isn't the best jammer in the WFTDA.
Nobody said she was a New York. You don't have to be the best. I mean,
this is...
Maybe her style will work with Bay Area's to their advantage.
I think it will complement them, because when they had Knock Knock, like, her style is kind of similar to Steph Manny's.
Yeah.
And they were, like, on fire when they had Knock Knock.
So it'll be interesting to see will happen.
Who is your top five going from bottom to number one? Five to number one. I'll give you mine. You want to give you mine first?
Yeah.
My top five. Hold on.
So I was like, I need to write them down.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and put them in. I'm gonna pull them up. Talk amongst yourselves for like 2 seconds. I'm going to pull up the...
I can tell you what my top five are while you're doing that, and then I have to put it in order.
Okay.
London, Victoria, Gotham, Rose City.
The fifth one's always the tough one. Because I'm probably...
You are going to be surprised at my top five.
Yeah?
Do you have Blue Ridge somewhere?
My number five. From 5 to 1. Here's my 5 to 1. London.
All right.
Texas.
Okay. Texas. You know he's going to say Jacksonville.
Denver.
Jacksonville.
Angel City.
Angel City?
Wait, no. I meant Denver. Denver's my number one. Sorry.
All right.
London. Texas. Shit, never mind. You got Jacksonville in your top five? That's not a bad top five.
Yeah. Okay.
London, Texas, what's up, Toto? Victorian.
Hello.
Sorry.
Right.
Angel City and Denver.
Okay.
No Gotham.
You put Denver in the top five?
I put Denver number one.
Okay.
But no Gotham. No love for Gotham, though.
You're not going to put Denver number one?
I'm putting Rose City number one. Still.
Okay.
They have the offense, and I think offense wins games.
Even though we still don't know the fate of Bron Swanson yet. She has nobody's hit us with that information.
As of today, I'm going with Rose City as number one.
Okay. Let's say tomorrow... Bron Swanson says, oh, I'm moving to Denver.
Denver's number one.
But where does that put Rose?
Number two.
It drops him only one spot?
Yeah.
I think it takes him out of the top five.
Really?
I do.
Because, I mean, they know how to teach the offense, too.
Okay. They still got Lauren. No, they still got Lauren.
That's a valid question, though. I'll give you that. That's a thinker. So, I guess my number one's still going to be... Still gonna be Rose for now. It's gonna be Rose.
Y'all better watch out for Angel. I'm telling you, y'all better watch out for Angel City.
I'm not putting Gotham at number two anymore.
They've been getting stronger and stronger every year, and they haven't lost anybody.
I'm gonna put Victoria at number two.
Okay.
All right.
I'll put.
They are legitimately at number two.
Gotham at number three. I'll put Denver at number four. And I'll put Jacksonville at number five because Jacksonville got some transfers too, and Jacksonville is steady working.
I'm so surprised you're not putting Angel City up. Here are the top 10 right now as far as WFCDA.com is concerned.
Right.
Number 10. Put your beard down for a second. Number 10. Minnesota. Jacksonville at number 9. Arch rival number 8. Denver is number 7. Texas is number 6. London is number 5. Angel City is number 4. Rose City is number 3, Victorian is number 2, and Gotham Girls Roller Derby still at number 1 for the 25th straight year.
I would still not...
Once again, I don't go by WFTDA stats. I would pull up Flat Track stats if we were going to look at stats at all.
No, I would not. No, that is completely inaccurate.
And then Carter's going to go based off of what Carter sees and stuff. Because Rose City has won the Hydra 2 years in a row. There's no reason they should not be number 1.
Me and Sanchez consistently say this. We had a huge argument.
There is zero reason.
We had a huge argument on the after party, which is going to premiere. Once again, if you did the last episode, has been loaded. It's up and ready on Podomatic.com/the after party.
iTunes.
Continue the debate with us.
iTunes, Podomatic.
Are we on
iTunes? Yeah, you guys have always been on iTunes.
So what, it automatically goes to iTunes?
No, I put it on iTunes.
Oh.
Yeah. I take care of my podcast.
Not just the voice of WDRBY, ladies and gentlemen. Not just the voice.
Yeah. WDRBY. I will take my fucking time with the goddamn letters. But I always tend to think, like, as much as people don't believe that Gotham should be number one, that you're always going to have that. You're always going to have those teams that actually stick to the brand name and just keep Gotham at number one.
I mean, it's all about the points, and it's all about how they're playing the game. They are playing the game strategically.
strategically. Because
they don't start their season until May.
You're right, but at the same time.
May or June, I think. And they only play for, what, two tournaments?
Yep.
2 months?
But Rose City has won two straight, and they can't even get past number two in the rankings. Which is, I mean,
Rose
like.
Rose City did lose to London at the end of the year.
Yeah, but that shouldn't. But is that enough to drop? Is that enough to drop the champion down to two and just put?
You ready for my
champs? Aren't even number two. Champs
you
is
ready
number three.
For my analysis on this? This is what I want. I pulled this up because I wanted a comparison of it. Because you know I like men's roller derby better than women's because men are.
Nah.
The views expressed by Carter Wade do not necessarily reflect those of WDRBY, its staff, management, or on-air talent.
Less drama. According to current murder rankings, the last ones they released, Carolina Wrecking Balls were number 25, and Collision was number 26.
This tournament should have accelerated the hell out of that shit.
Yeah. So you gotta look at who they play and what they do in order to get their rankings up.
Mm-hmm.
The team that beat the Balls in New Orleans this past year, Austin Anarchy, was ranked one above us. And the team that beat us, I think they beat us, I don't even know, in Charleston this past year, Race City Rebels, we're playing them in April.
Right.
And we just beat Collision by over 200 points.
All right, so let's go ahead and slide let's talk about the tournament this weekend, the C Cup. Carolina Wrecking Balls went down there and did some goddamn work. I'm gonna play homebody real quick. I mean, Collision showed up in their nice little blue uniforms, their nice new swanky duds, and still got that ass whooped. They got that ass wrecked, if you will.
You coached the champions of the inaugural C Cup.
And next year they're gonna make it bigger, so be on the lookout for that. They're trying to make the Spring Roll of the South, guys.
But you guys made it private. Like
it was private because it was at the warehouse. It was the first time that they did it. They couldn't have spectators or anything. We snuck some in. Don't tell Collision. You're welcome, Collision.
Collision doesn't listen to this show. As they now listen to this show.
But much respect to Collision and all the teams that played. Who else?
Cleveland.
Cleveland was there.
It was Cleveland Guardians and Casco Bay Men's Roller Derby. Which was really interesting for me to see because Grim Demise is a female transfer from the main Roller Girls Whipped team, and CQS played them last year, year before maybe, and she beat our ass. She was their best jammer, and she was their best jammer too. She got tournament MVP for their team.
Nice. But I'm just surprised because... You know, as
well.
Hey, as I got the text. You want to do your introduction?
I do. All
right. Just pretend we're at the beginning of the show again, guys.
W-D-R.
Yeah, let's pretend like we haven't been talking for 15 minutes.
Why? I'm Russell Franchise.
Yes.
So once again, I'm the great one, Parth Vader.
Carter.
My name is Cookies for Breakfast, and I showed up.
And the fool.
No, this is not only an hour broadcast, right?
All right, fast forward back to.
I was talking on the phone, and it was all about roller derby, which is what this podcast is all about.
Exactly. You're a goddamn liar.
You could have brought the phone over here and talked.
You damn liar.
You're a goddamn liar. Man, if I could punch you right now, I would. Unfortunately, this audio podcast cannot catch the sight of me punch you in the face. Ah,
oh,
there it
God,
is.
Oh, God, Russell, watch it.
Sounds really good, too.
Yeah, that's good. I thought we were friends. That's, you piece of shit.
That's good, team. High five. No, but in the 5 years that I've been kind of following Wrecking Balls on and off, I don't remember the last time the Wrecking Balls got 300.
Oh, it's happened.
It has happened.
It's happened, but I mean, like, in the last couple of
now,
years.
Now, in sanctioned games recently? No.
No, but you put 300 on
and
a competitor.
Keep every team you play against under 100.
I don't think there's ever been a time where there's been a sweep like that. Like, three games. Went all three games.
Also, really quick, big shout out to the ref crew for that tournament. Mm-hmm. I was on when I wasn't playing, when I wasn't coaching the balls, I was on the other ref crew. But that was one of the best ref crews I have ever seen.
Right.
In just any tournament.
Solid call playing.
Solid calling the entire time. Everyone worked together. Everyone was amazing and awesome. And there were really no calls we could disagree with. Like, we called official reviews just to argue and give our guys a break.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we could do. Because we were like, I'm not going to win this, but okay.
Yeah. I was talking to Toto before the show, and, like, I've never... Toto's always been hype about Wrecking Ball's roller derby, but talking to him, it was almost something lit a fire up his ass, and he's just positive about everything.
Same for Cambo, man.
Yeah,
those two have always been pretty.
Cambo had that baby. He didn't know if he was going to be able to stick around, and now he's like, can I go to the gym with you? Can I do? I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So this year might be our year. We're gonna do some good shit.
That Camto.
Camto. I think that positivity is rubbing off on Gordy too.
So
talking about coming back.
So with Murda, you have to finish in the top 20 in order to make the playoffs.
I'm still not 100% sure about that because they haven't published it anywhere, and I meant to ask today.
It might be on because they were talking about something on WFTDA.com where. But now, Jurda, Murda, and the Wifter are under the same, I guess, rule set. So
Jurda!
They did discuss, like, because there are going to be a North American and European playoffs this year. We talked about that last time.
Right.
But the North American playoffs are in Canada.
Right.
And the last I heard in the rumor mill was it was from number 11 to 25 were going to be going to Canada.
Right.
And so basically after this weekend, I was like, get your passports, guys. You might as well. They last for 10 years.
And it's great for jobs.
I'll go to Canada. I want to go to Canada.
Yeah.
If y'all make it to Canada, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Vancouver.
Book some hotels. I might just pack everything I own. And like, oh, I might not come back.
I feel like you guys might have to reach back out the later skater and just, like, ask him, like, culture.
Come on, hang out with Trump Doe.
Justin Trubro?
Me and Trubro are going to be kicking it.
Well, at least he'll shake your hand without question.
My sister lives in Canada.
I hope we invite him.
Yeah.
Wait, he would show up.
Wait. Would you guys make Justin Trudeau an honorary Wrecking
Ball?
Yeah, we would make his own jersey. We'll even put a name on it.
What would Justin Trudeau's...
Justin Trubro.
Yeah.
Justin Trubro?
Or Trudope.
Trudope. Because he legalized weed, so Trudope.
Trudope.
And you know how you're not supposed to have number one as your roller derby number?
Yeah.
His would be number
no,
one.
No, you can't.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
A duh.
Alice Trip Bitch.
Get it? See what I did there?
Alice Trip Bitch?
Just incredible.
Let's
give him a wrestler's name. Why not?
Ah. Wait, you gave him a name of a terrible wrestler?
Just Incredible wasn't bad.
Just in time. Parentheses. P.S. We live here now. Welcome.
Just in time. CPT. The Carter.
Well, we live there until winter. And then winter gets kind of rough.
Justin Tinderlake. Swipe left. Right? I don't know. I don't use Tinder anymore.
What? I never used Tinder. Rabbit was trying to show me something on Tinder like earlier today, and I'm like,
Anyways, we could make it to Canada, guys.
We
could
make it across the border.
All right. Side note: have you guys seen this picture that my girl Taz posted the other day?
Oh my God, quads for days.
I mean, damn.
Great God. Look at those quads.
Legs, homie.
That's
tree trunks.
That's human growth hormone. That's what that is.
No. That's workout.
That's steak and potatoes, buddy. And lots and lots and lots and lots.
I remember when she was
squats.
She was with fucking Little City, and we both got best blocker against each other. She was maybe
those
a little bit smaller than me.
Just
really.
Like
that was like six years ago.
Taz, who's best friends with us, Team Wet Black. We've taken a lot of pictures together, hung out a lot of times. The poses we take with her are usually her flexing.
Right,
she flexes. Like, Sanchez is like, man, I don't even want to flex just, next to her.
He could just hang out with her.
Sanchez doesn't even want to flex next to her.
He's not a small dude either. I mean, he's got some muscle on it.
Taz is unearthly. And hey. She's still getting through another ankle injury, I believe.
You got to get through the wall. Oh, that's I can easily through get another through the ankle wall. Injury, no, I believe, she so. Is the wall that you have to get past. It's a
shout
one
out to
man
Taz,
wall.
Doing it big down there in Tampa.
So let me ask this then, because she, I mean, like, do powerful quads like that give you an advantage
yes.
in a dirty
sport? Yes.
Have you met Laura Much?
Derby is all about the quads.
She has, like, quads, I mean, she also has shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Shoulders and quads.
Okay, so if you can only have one.
Shoulders and quads.
Upper body strength or lower body strength?
Lower
body strength.
Oh, lower, without a doubt. Oh, God.
I don't know. I would want upper
the stability body. Alone would be worth it.
Yeah.
One of our top scoring jammers this weekend on the balls was Moose. Mm-hmm. And that's because he can calf raise 1,200 pounds. Because he doesn't need offense. He just pushes
right.
through the wall. Like, that's all he does. He doesn't need offense.
That's his personality.
And so he's like, just stop. Just stop skating. Whereas Toto has, like, no muscle at all.
Right.
No muscle at all.
Just spaghetti.
But he just flies. Like, he's like a feather.
He works harder. He has to work harder to get through than Moose does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where you put Cambo in on that one.
Cambo doesn't jam.
Yeah.
Do you guys
anymore? Didn't they used to jam?
Not right now.
Yeah.
Do you guys don't do, like, everybody jams
nope.
anymore?
No.
Because that's...
I understand.
We got a new coaching style.
Yeah. It's called new coaching.
Yeah. Because that was the one thing I hated. Just like, why is everybody... Look, you should have, like, a specialized group that are jamming.
Well, if you can have a four-jammer rotation, you can, right. you should. But you should definitely have a three-jammer
rotation. Yeah. We have a three-jammer rotation. It changes every game we play.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a three-jammer backup rotation that changes every game we play.
The backup to the back.
So they're usually our pivots.
But see, that makes more sense because if you make everybody jam, that's going to just wear everybody out. Whereas if you know that you're going to have three jammers or four jammers that you can depend on, that the blockers can just do their job.
I mean, that's a big, big thing. You know, look at all my players, they can jam. That's yeah. what that is. Especially if it's 300 points up.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
if someone comes up to you and says, I do not want to jam, and your policy is everyone jams. What do you do with them?
But
we have a couple of those on the balls now.
Yeah.
They don't want to jam, and they may have left and come back to the balls because we got rid of that policy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the problem with everybody jams, like, yeah, it's great that everybody jams, but if even the worst jammer is only giving you maybe a point per game, it's not worth mm-mm. the juice is not worth the squeeze or something like that.
Look at you coming up with shit. The juice is not worth the squeeze.
Yeah. I read my analogy of day calendar.
Don't squeeze the juice.
Don't squeeze the juice. By the way, OJ is up for parole this year.
What's he in jail for?
For kidnapping.
Kidnapping?
Yeah. It's actually
selling ecstasy.
No. OJ is.
Was that the first time?
No.
Fake news.
You are throwing out some alternate facts.
No, that's what I thought.
No. Like the anything? Like he. It was kind of a bullshit charge that he got. That he got jailed for. So apparently, I'll give you the quick one. Someone that he had sold merchandise to was supposed to pay him, but they never paid him back. So he said, you
merchandise
know what?
Being memorabilia.
Memorabilia. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the hotel and get my stuff back.
I'm going
to bring my gun as well. And
because that always ends
yeah.
well.
And so,
especially with O.J. fucking Simpson.
Well, here's the thing. So O.J. brings out the gun. And he's just like, hey, I'm going to take you to the other room and you're going to give me my stuff back. Now, in Nevada, the kidnapping rules in Nevada specifically state if you force someone against their will, even if it's just from, say, the bathroom to the bedroom, that is considered kidnapping. It doesn't matter. There's no difference between me taking part from here to China. Or me taking part from this this side of the bar to the other side of the bar. It's still kidnapping. And so they pretty much used the literal version of the rule and got him on the kidnapping charge.
Well, I mean, OJ is never going to catch a break anyway, so.
He'll take a stab
at
it.
Because you know he did it. He killed Nicole.
Whoa.
I'll take a stab.
Is that how we rolling on the show
wow.
now?
Wow. The hot takes. Come grab your hot takes.
I'm not ashamed. OJ did it.
I mean, there's...
Oh, like the thing from the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he totally did it.
Yeah.
I read a whole lot of serial killer shit. He totally did it.
I don't know. I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson, and I'm kind of on the fence here. Maybe it's because I'm black.
Is that a...
Glove don't quit, must acquit. Wait, glove don't fit, must acquit?
If the glove don't fit,
you must acquit.
He went to the store earlier in the day, didn't have time to get size, and bought the wrong size. Also... Why are you sizing your gloves? You must be rich, motherfucker.
Well, I mean, like, OJ. He has large hands.
Well, didn't he have that extra large ice toner commercial?
No, Dan Marino was ice toner. He was Avis and...
Avis,
but they were isotoners.
Hertz.
Isotoners aren't hard to try on, but you do. Most rich people do get them sized. My mom gets them sized.
Right.
She'd probably kill my dad and be like, I don't know.
Are you confessing to a murder before?
My dad's still alive.
All right.
Alright, so let's move on. Battle of the All-Star State Tournament took place also on the same weekend. And the Team New York took first place.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. MVP blocker was Daryl from Team New York. I love that name, by the way.
Daryl.
It's spelled like the movie Daryl. Data Analytical Robot Use Life
Form.
D-A-R-Y-L.
Great movie.
You never seen Daryl?
No, thanks. So.
Oh, bro. We gotta watch it.
Is it about the kid brother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The robot brother. And MVP Jammer, of course, Team Wet Black's own, Freight Train from Team Texas.
Man.
She's going to be at the lock-in again this year. She's already said that. She's booked.
Is there a Turbo Kid. Is there an official name for the...
Lock-in 5, the Empire Strikes Wet Black.
Ah.
Episode 5.
We'll Episode 5.
Yeah.
That's
a good title.
What was last year's?
Last year's was
The Fourth Awakens.
Thank you.
So that means 6 is going to be an assignment to Miami?
No, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. So here are the placements for the Battle of the All-Star State Tournament. Number 5, Team Maryland. Number 4, Team Virginia. Number 3, Team Texas. Number 2, Pennsylvania. And number 1, Team New York.
So let's see. Still City and Philly. Because I'm just trying to go through all the states here. So Still City and Philly. Which makes sense. Gotham, of course. It was Team New York, just mainly just Gotham and whoever else they could throw out there.
Well, Pennsylvania also had V-Diva. You have to have a driver license from that state.
Okay. So you couldn't.
She wasn't
be...
registered in New York.
Right.
Her place of residence wasn't in. She hasn't been there for a full year.
Right.
Right. Is that what it was?
Who?
Diva.
Diva. No, she lives in Pennsylvania.
She lives.
Just commutes up to New York.
So she has to play for Pennsylvania.
So that means Bonnie Thunders is going to have to, if Bonnie Thunders wanted to get in, she would have to wait a full year to play for Washington.
No, that's not true.
Unless she goes there and immediately gets her license from Portland, Oregon.
Isn't that just a team state thing?
No, we're talking about Valley All-Stars, which is state wars, basically.
Right.
So this is just like a sub, like a step down from state wars, or
they're the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's a
tournament for state wars.
They're completely different, but they're the same.
Right. State wars has all of the states in it. It's one tournament with all of the states in it, basically. These are just
shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they want to compete, yeah.
Exactly, because we could start one right now and have Florida come down and North Carolina come down.
It's just kind of another outlet for the state teams to play.
Yes, get some work in.
All right.
Which I really think South Carolina should probably
thought
about getting in this.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Well, I think they had their tryouts. Either this week or last week.
2 weeks ago. Tryouts were last year.
No, they just had a...
I thought it was another tryout.
There was probably another tryout, but their first tryout was last year. But yeah, we haven't practiced together for shit, so...
Did you watch all of Battle of the All-Stars?
I didn't watch all of it. I watched...
I watched a little bit of it.
I watched Texas and Virginia. I watched Maryland and Pennsylvania and New York. And I can't remember who else.
See, I watched all the ones opposite of what you just named off. So yeah. I watched a lot of the West Virginia team just because of things and such and whatnot. But I also watched a good bit of North Carolina stuff. They fucking killed it all tournament weekend. Definitely shout out to those jammers on that team because they fucking made that shit happen. It was beautiful. It was like watching somebody get untouched every single turn from North Carolina.
Nice. And there are people we don't want to say hi to. We don't want to say hi to David Blockett.
No, fuck her.
No, I totally want to say hi to David Blockett.
We don't want to say hi to David Blockett. No,
no I do. I think she because she knocked the fuck out of Lauren Nicely.
I love David Blockett.
She knocked the fuck out of Lauren Nicely, and Lauren Nicely told me to actually say something to her next time I talked to her that was one of the hardest fucking hits she's ever taken.
Nobody likes you, Davey.
I still whoop her ass in Mario Kart.
Heard it here first.
I do it every day.
Damn. Breakfast. The trash talk.
You talk trash.
He looks in the mirror every morning and goes, I whoop her ass in Mario Kart if she was here right now. And then he goes about his day.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, what happened when she showed up to the lock-in, though, man? Where was you at?
Where was that?
You didn't come that year.
I did.
You didn't come this past year.
That was the year before last.
Year before last, yeah.
I was there.
So both of y'all were there and nothing happened?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And Mario Kart was there. Was it not? Weren't they playing on the...
It was supposed to be.
No, there was a fucking screen in the back. No. They were playing video games back there.
I could have brought a laptop. I could have brought a TV and just said...
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. W-D-R-B.
You gotta put a lot of space between the W and the
B. Alright, so speaking of W-D-R-B-Y, is there any movement on the new show, Carter?
Yes. But Chuck just bought a new car, so she's got to work at the bar some nights now. So we got to find our time. She had to miss practice tonight because she had to work at the bar to pay for her new car. Speak of the devil.
You know, the one good thing about...
Y'all let me know when you can do it and do y'all need to get properly sauced?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
The one good.
I don't know if they were changing their format or not. Go ahead.
I gotta be able to say Derby.
It's Carter Berry's
in Chucktown Brisbane. I mean,
that's the new shit show.
No, it's the new.
It's the actual shit show.
It's the new. That's what she said. They had.
That's right.
Two versions of.
That's right.
Two versions of every show
except for the after party. The flagship of the network.
I put it to you, like, me and Parth were talking before the show, and just like, if you watch wrestling, the after party is the Raw show, which is everybody's going to watch the Raw show. The round track is the SmackDown show, which is, if you have the time, you're gonna listen to the show. It's not mandatory. And then, you know, that's what she said, is the developmental show that eventually could lead up to being the top
show. Pretty good show.
Yeah.
I dig it. All I know is I'd whoop her ass in Mario Kart. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks for bringing it back, Cookies.
Cookies wants to bring it full circle.
Just letting you know, Davey Blockett.
Just like a track.
All right, so
going hit Lauren Nicely, real nice, but he's still going to beat your ass.
So all right, so we're gonna go back to the C-Cup here for a second because we got Toto in the house. What up, Toto? Toto.
He was fucking happy.
Oh, man. This weekend is the best derby moment of my entire life.
Y'all look good.
There was not a single moment.
Good weekend.
I had the special privilege of having Jew drive me just so I could fucking sleep. Like, I got off work and instantly had to get in the car to go play derby at 10 in the morning. And I was not ready. I never, never do 10 in the morning. Fuck 10 in the morning. It can literally go suck its own dick.
I would have come had I not had the beer festival the day before. I had to wake up till 5.
Dude, if there was any tournament.
Yeah, I wanted to be the resident.
If there was any tournament for you to miss, it was watching this one for us. Like, it's that impressive. Like, if you go back and watch all the footage of what we did, It was. I did. The team was communicating from the fucking start.
I did catch the collision game, though. I did catch the collision game.
Good. Yeah. Good. Fuck yeah, man.
I got the compliment from several refs and attendees that the balls played like men and not boys this weekend, and that was the first time they had ever seen them do that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, in the sense that all of our attitudes were there from the start. We went into the tournament thinking, hey, this is a clean sweep. This is something we can do because we've not only prepared for it from the start of the fucking year, but before that. We've been thinking about what we were going to do there non-fucking stop. So we brought it. First game in, I was kind of hurt already because I'm a fucking dumbass and busted my ass first.
He was warming up and belly flopped.
Right in front of the camera.
I've done that before.
Like, it's on camera of me just going, boom, and bouncing. And Carter looks at me and she's like, you fucking serious?
It's happened to me.
So, I had a knee injury from the start that I got wrapped the entire fucking weekend because we had the best medic crew ever.
Shout out to Wambulance, MVP of the tournament. He is the best. Like, I referred him for everything for CQS from now on. All he wants is room and board, so if anyone wants to contact him, his derby name is Wambulance. You can look him up, Wambulance, on Facebook. Like, that's how you can find him. He is, like, the best medic ever, and he doesn't want to be paid to do it. He just wants room and board.
That's how I got.
And he walked around with like little ice packs and spray bottles the entire. I was like, "Are you guys hot? Are you hot? Are you? We're fine."
Seriously,
get
when
out.
There was a real injury, like you don't normally get that treatment in derby. Like when I've gotten hurt prior, it was like kind of medical assistance, but they were just there to kind of watch. He was on his shit the entire fucking time, but. Back to tournament and whatnot.
Really quick, let me ask both of you a question. I have a question for both of you. And it's one question, and I want each of you to answer differently because you're going to answer as a coach and you're going to answer as a player. On a scale, give you on a grading scale, F being the worst, A+ being the best, the stuff that you worked on and implemented, the stuff you worked on in practice, how well did it transfer over into the game? How well do you think they did, and how well do you think you did?
I'll let you go first.
B+.
Okay. That's a solid grade.
Yeah. B+ because they knew exactly what they had to do. And this is the first time I've ever experienced them actually listening to me. Not just the jammers. Because I'm the track coach and Roxy's the bench coach. And Roxy and I communicated really well this weekend too, which is different. Like, we tried a different style where we would give up a few points to get people out of the box so we would have a full pack. But not just the jammers listened to me. When I said do offense, they went and did offense the entire time, and it was just amazing, like to see the transition that they went through. Mm-hmm.
I would say when she was calling for pack work, the pack was always able to hear her, which was an important factor for us.
I channeled my inner.
Everyone was listening for Carter.
Did you get loud?
I got loud. Yeah. I channeled my inner Dell and. Like, there were a couple times, and there's a video, like, we can post a link to it if you want to, the video from Collision and the balls, where you can hear everything. And there was one point where, and I'm sorry to call you out, Puff, but I was like, Puff, wait! And you skated back on the track, and you got a track cut, and you had to go to the box. But you guys always, you like, 100% listen to me the entire time, and that's all that I can ask for. Like, pack, I was like, make the pack! I was, like, screaming because I knew the rules because I was reffing the entire weekend, too. And I knew what they were looking for. So I was like, make the pack! And they would make it. And, like, it was a whole thing.
All right, well, grade.
All right, so are you asking me a grade based on personal performance or team performance?
Team.
Give me both.
Ooh.
Personal performance... B-.
Okay. What do you think you could do better?
I could have, had more endurance. That was a guarantee. But that's in any tournament setting whatsoever. You always go in thinking you'll be great, and then fuck, I'm out of energy. I would definitely give myself
pause.
A B.
I would give you an A.
Ooh.
You listened to me this entire weekend. You were the one of the few that actually 100% listened to me. the entire time. Yes, you got some track cuts. Yes, you got some shit calls, like, when they happened and, like, reviewing the video. Yeah, you didn't get shit calls. Like, one or two, they were like, okay, you cut the track. But, like, the first few jams, I'll give up 20 points if you find your flow. But you 100% listen to me, like, every time. Like, I didn't even have to scream your name anymore. Like, it's got to the point where I'm just like, no! And you called it immediately. And that's what I look for in a jammer. So, it.
Yay! Toto did great shit. Bringing it back there, like, physical, what I did on the track, yes, I would give myself an A in the sense that my footwork was on point. When I hit a collision wall, it was not, was I going to get through or were they going to stop me? It was, no, I see where they're moving, and now I know how to move this individual plate. It's like a giant fucking chessboard to me when I get out there, and I'm already thinking ADHD, shit scatterbrained. I'm not going to be able to pay attention to every single fucking detail. But I knew what I was doing from the moment I stepped on, because I knew where my entry hole was and I knew where my exit hole was. And everything was keep to the middle, keep to the fucking middle.
That became my mantra this weekend. Yeah. Anytime I yelled middle shoulder.
And it worked for Jam Room, and
jam
it worked
room,
for Moose,
and
it worked
you
me.
Got through.
Every
anytime
single time
I yelled that, they immediately went to the middle of the track, dropped their shoulder, and shoved it in, and just skated.
I want to get into, because it's one of the first times that I've heard, you know, Murda does have the rule now where if you self-identify as a male, regardless if you are born a male, like a female can actually come in and actually say, I identify as a male just for the sake of skating for a men's team. They can do that and have it still count as sanctioned bout. How was it kind of trying to adjust your game to something like this, where now it's kind of you have a female player on the track and you have to treat her the same way that you would treat a otherwise male competitor?
So,
have you never played against a female in any sport?
Well, I mean, like, but this is in a sense, like, a
sanctioned
nature. It's not like a co-ed game.
It's supposed
he's saying
to be
from
men.
Right.
Yeah.
He's saying it's from all men.
Like, this is a game that actually counts.
Right. And I'll comment in saying that I'm going to take a neutral ground because of just need of my team kind of thing. I love the fact that we are now inclusive enough to be able to understand that people are transitioning through a period of their life that they want to play men's roller derby. That is absolutely phenomenal.
Roller derby should be for everybody.
Roller
no
derby
what.
Should be for everyone. I will say, though, that it irks me that people do it for selfish reasons. If you're not interested in being a part of what I'm interested in being a part of, then I'm sorry, that's not the sport for you, and you should play the sport for you. And that's as nice as I can say that. However, there was individuals this weekend, I'll try to keep away from saying his or her, but there was individuals this weekend that, yes, absolutely blew the competition out of the water. Number 350 from Casco Bay, or 305. Which one
Grim
was it?
Grim Demise.
Grim
350.
Grim. This individual absolutely played the best derby.
She is a she. She
okay.
said that was okay to say, because the announcers asked for their pronouns beforehand just to see. And every female that played this weekend was she.
Okay. So. Well, she played phenomenal. Like, absolutely one of the number one jammers that I had a problem with.
She got MVP jammer.
And she deserved it.
Yeah.
She
got
fucking
MVP
deserved
from her team
every
from
single
Casco
point
Bay.
She got.
She came from Maine Roller Derby, and we were talking about this before the broadcast, that CQS played her last year when we went to Charlotte, and she kicked our asses.
Yeah, she dominates. She is fucking stupid good at derby, and she will continue to be stupid good. And we even traded notes as of today. Like, we were going back and forth, bouncing ideas off each other to make shit, like, better. Derby love. Like, it's what it was. But, no, I will come back to the main subject of the point.
Right.
There was also individuals that could not withstand a normal hit, like a physical normal hit that I would give anyone else. If I'm hitting a wall, I'm going to hit you at the best speed I know how. But because we were playing teams that, and I don't mean to discredit either team, we knew we were probably going to be. We knew the score was going to be somewhere around what we expected, because we had realistic expectations from the fucking start to the finish. So we made sure we were playing the game we knew how. But I did have to not hit certain players, and that's both male and female that was on the track. I had to not hit.
I'm going
to
cut you off right now. Can you say your thing really quick?
The views expressed by Carter Way do not necessarily reflect those of WDRBY, its staff, management, or on-air talent.
Okay. I think if you want to play men's roller derby, that's great. If you are transitioning, yes, we will welcome you with open arms. Like, that's what the policy is there for, and that's why MRTA has that.
Having said that.
If you are a female and coming in to play men's roller derby, you are playing men's roller derby. There was one game we went into this weekend where we were like, do not hit these people for a certain reason. They were female. They were skating for the team. And we were worried about hitting them because they weren't stable on their feet.
Right.
They were basically on the same level as our fresh meat. Our fresh meat, James, who went out, drew a truck cut track against Collision and schooled the thing. But we weren't going to hit this person because we thought that it would hurt her. Like, we didn't want to injure her, so we were like, sit and drive on that person. Had we done that, the score might have been way more than it was.
We weren't dicks as well. That's the whole point of our team.
Like, we were men and not boys, basically.
But I kind of think, like, it comes with the territory. If you're going to say, hey, I identify as a male, and I'm coming into a sport where it's a male dominated team, and we've seen Wolf is more almost like style and finesse, whereas MRTA can actually be kind of grinded out hardcore. You know that, you know, motherfuckers are going to come at you and hit you hard. I don't, you know, if you're a female, I understand there's a big difference, but you're coming into a male sport. You're coming out and saying, I identify as a male to play a male sport. I kind of think that as a competitor, you almost have to approach it the same way.
You do. And this is what I'll say to kind of like bring it full circle. I don't care whether or not you identify one way or the other. If you're going to play men's derby, and we're in serious competition, whether that's our next fucking Midwest Derby Fest or whether or not it's championships, if we make it there, I'm gonna hit you like a person on that track that wanted to be hit from the moment you walked in the door. And that's what matters.
Be prepared to play men's roller derby. I don't... When I scrimmage against the boys, if I'm not on the same team as Blue Brawls, I don't scrimmage.
Because you know what's coming.
I'm not prepared to be hit like that.
Right. Blue Trees. If ever there was an equal opportunity hitter, it's Blue Brawls.
And getting hit by Blue
He hits you the same way he hits his worst enemy.
It's the most god-awful thing you've ever been hit by, because it's going to be full force plus muscle plus, yeah, there's a little bit of anger that goes into that. And I'm not upset by that, because that's my fucking teammate that shows out every fucking time.
Hey, derby is a lot of people's outlet.
If I need someone out of my way on that track, I'm asking for Cameron or I'm asking for Blue, because they are my number one people
to get me out. You just got to be ready for it. And I find myself reffing men's roller derby, which is the only sport that I like to ref. I don't like to ref women's roller derby. But when I ref men's roller derby, I'm like, these are men. I tell them that every single time when I go into a ref crew, because I know there's going to be women out there probably. And when I go in as a coach and we have the pregame meeting, I'm like, they're all men.
They can
if
take
someone
this.
Gets hit, a way that you don't think they should get hit, then call it. But remember, they're all men. If Toto had a vagina and Giant Carter hit him and I had a dick, would you call the penalty the same way?
You shouldn't.
Shouldn't.
I'm also 5'6" and barely 130 pounds.
But refs look at it the same way like you look at regular life. Like, men hitting women is not good. And women are dainty. Fuck that shit. You're playing murder, dude.
Yeah. Alright, so let's go ahead and wrap it all up. Your experience, how would you rate your experience this weekend?
10 out of 10. 11 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And just because this subject came up doesn't change my view
absolutely,
of this
yeah.
weekend.
No,
it was fucking phenomenal. It was the best derby weekend I've ever had in my entire life.
I would just like and also point out Casco Bay, the two MVPs, Blocker and Jammer, were both female.
Yep.
So, holla!
Sisters!
Absolutely, and they deserved it. Wow. They deserved every
they
fucking
they were amazing.
Point, everything they did together.
That's how you play men's roller derby.
Right. Absolutely.
So, going into the remaining... All right. Going into the rest of... Because we still have, what, 3-4 months before we reach July?
Championships and after.
What type of momentum do you think your team has?
And we're carrying it. We had a practice plan from the beginning of the year, and we are going to continue to build on that. We're going to pick apart everything that happened this weekend that was bad, and we're going to start off as baby steps again.
We're going to build in everything we do this season through baby steps and making sure the team progresses together. It's not about any individual snowflake on the fucking team. It's about everyone wanting to be the best fucking blizzard we can bring into everything we fucking
do. You know, Carter's strength is offense, and Carter respects teams that do offense, like Rose City, which is number one in the WFTA this year, according to Carter.
Definitely an idol.
That she gave
pending Braun Swanson.
Pending, I was about to say, pending Braun Swanson. We don't know Braun's status.
I think we are going to work on offense a lot more, because offense, I think offense wins games.
They'll take care of that on Carter.
Carter Perosi time. All right, so having said that, let's go ahead and wrap it up. We got, what, 4 minutes left?
We got like 3 minutes.
Three or four minutes left. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this weekend. This coming up weekend, February 26th, the Nuts Tournament. The Nutcracker. You coming?
The
Tag Team Tournament, yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tag Team Tournament. It's going to be from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. here at the Art Bar.
It's the best time.
It really is, and I like how it's growing. It's been growing and growing and growing every.
Also,
it
seems really
to be
quick.
A little bit bigger every time.
Chuck has confirmed that that's what she said. We'll be back.
Woo! Woo! I need a date. I need a date. Like, come on now.
You live with me. We'll.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Wait. Is he gonna sit in the Stella Artois chair when you give him the said date? Yes. If we know where the location
once we find the Stella chair, we'll make him sit.
Once we find the chair, Cookies wasn't here, so we're not gonna. You're just gonna have to listen.
Cookies
to the
has
podcast.
The chair. What? Northeast Columbia. That's where it is.
All right, so really quick, let's describe what's going on with this tag team tournament, Russ Franchise.
So essentially, it's kind of a mix of a lethal lottery, a lethal tag team lottery, and a Money in the Bank, if you're familiar with it. Nuts, of course, video game competition, random games. This time around, top competitors will be paired up together in a lethal tag team combination to win bouts. The last tag team remaining will have one bout to decide who will walk away with the Nutcracker. And whoever has the Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker is basically the...
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, or Genie in the Lamp. You can use it for anything at any time.
You're guaranteed a title shot whenever you want. And there's already a title shot, Marcus
take on a tie.
I don't even...
John Cena!
John Cena may or may not be there.
Cool guy, Ty. Well, I refuse to call him Ty.
But my money is on Marcus. I'm just going to say.
But it is Sunday, this Sunday.
Sunday at 5 o'clock.
Look up Nuts. I'm trying to think of the official name for it.
Nutcracker.
Nutcracker, no. Nutcracker. Yeah, facebook.com/. Nuts Tournament?
It's fine. TS Tournament? It's fine.
We will find it.
Yeah, but we'll post a link on that.
Also, go to Guys and Girls Gone Wild Invitational this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's Dr. Seuss theme. That's really fun.
Will there be a cut in the hat?
Shake.
I'm not playing or reffing, but I could if you want to go.
I do. Yeah, let's go to that. Let's do that.
Okay.
All right. Having said that, I'm the great one, Parth Vader.
I'm Carter.
Toto.
My name is Cookies for Breakfast.
And I'm the voice of
WWE. Go.
R. B.
Good night, everybody.